but in your power. Lord, as we come into your word today, open our understanding, because we cannot know it without your strength. Without the Holy Spirit revealing, it will just be words. So open, as only you can, our minds, our spirit, our heart, not only that we can understand it, but we can walk it, live it, apply it for our liberty and for the liberty of our families, for the liberty of our church, and Lord, the liberty of those around us. Move me again out of the way. Anoint me to teach, to preach, to proclaim your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you guys for being out today and pressing through to be in the house. And I appreciate so much your faithfulness to journey in the house of the Lord today. The title of today's message is The Church Invincible. And last week, we started with the first part of this new series entitled Message to My Church, Revelation Letters. Last week, the title was The Church Eternal. Today, the title is The Church Invincible. That's a powerful word, isn't it? The Church Invincible, meaning that there is no power greater than the church of Jesus Christ. And I want to clarify that by saying this. The church is the body of who? The body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And there is nothing that will have victory over Jesus. And God has brought us into his body. He has filled us with his power. And he loves his church. He will defend his church. He will protect his church. Jesus loves his church. Can you say that with me this morning? Jesus loves his church. Revelation Letters, is as we walk through this series, and I'm not sure how long this series is going to last, because there's a lot in the first part of Revelation speaking to the church, but we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us through. But if you have your Bibles with you today, we begin in Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 18. Jesus speaking to Peter, and he tells him this, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build," what does that say? "My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm going to read that again. "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, when we hear that scripture, here's something that comes to mind. We think many times that, well, Peter has a special call, and of course he did. But this scripture is also pointing to us as the body of Christ. And he's letting us know, if we will allow and open up this free will that God has given us, that he will come and dwell in us with the power of the Holy Spirit, making us living stones that will not be able to be overcome by anything. So this promise to Peter extends also to us. If we are willing to walk faithfully before the Lord, he will place within us the invincibility of the Holy Spirit, and we will be part of this glorious church called the body of Christ, the church eternal, the church invincible. Letters of love and hope for the precious church of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be looking at over the next number of weeks and maybe even months, a few months, as we look at these letters of love and honesty, because love is what? Love lie to you? Love doesn't lie. Love says what is clearly needed. And in these letters, we see encouragement, but we also see rebuke. But I look at these letters as a guard for us to see the pitfalls that await the church and see how we can avoid the things that seek to unplug us from the body of Christ. We read in Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now, that's not supposed to be some mystery that we don't understand, but let's kind of look at it with clarity. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, right? Who is that? And let me make it clear. The angel is representing the pastor of, or the messenger, the leader of those churches, especially Ephesus right now this morning. So the angel is the one who God appointed to lead the church in that specific city. And here a message is coming to him. And then it goes further. It says, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand. What does that mean? The seven stars are represent seven pastors or seven leaders of the seven churches that these letters are going to be written to. So how does that make me feel as a pastor to see something here mentioned angel and star? How does that make me feel? You know, some guys could get really puffed up. Says, yeah, I like that. I like those names, angel and star. I like those. But that's not the point. God's saying, you have a responsibility to be a clear messenger of what my heart is. You have a responsibility to guard that body and not be something that just is a people pleaser, but a God pleaser. But then it brings us to that balance, because we're all on the same plane. Now listen to me. Remember what we talked about a few weeks ago, that God says, you know, if you want to be a teacher, you need to be careful, because you're going to be judged at a different level, meaning that God's going to hold you accountable in ways that somebody that didn't teach in the church is not going to have to be concerned with. Because when I stand here and teach, I stand here and teach with this responsibility. I speak for God's heart. That's a important thing, and I'm fallible, so I can mess up. But with my intentions to seek to be pure in how I speak to you guys, with a heart to want to honor God more than honor the will of man, I want to honor God. God is holding pastors, church leaders responsible in ways that we better shape up and pay attention to. But then the beauty is the body of Christ. You have gathered today to come here as living stones. Those that are joining us by Zoom are joining together as living stones to honor and celebrate God. Remember what the Bible said? We have to gather as the body of Christ. We got to come together because we're family. And even more as that day approaches, and when I look over that scripture, I see something very prominent. I see a warning that says gathering is going to get harder as the day approaches of Christ's return. So we stand strong in that, but when we gather, look at what it says. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. And what that is, the seven golden lampstands are the seven churches that these letters are going to be written to. And these seven churches, who walks among them? Jesus. You know, Jesus is here with us right now. We know His Holy Spirit is living in us, but He celebrates us coming together in His name. And He is walking, and these represent the lampstands. He is walking in our midst right now. I heard someone say this week, and I meant to start with this today, but I didn't. When we come and sing, we're not just doing a sing-along, right? We're singing to God. We're singing to God. We're singing to Jesus because we know He is what? Here. He's here. He's walking amongst us. Now, this begins with this in mind. Ephesus was like the mother church of these seven churches. They were a very strong church. And they had gotten to a place where they felt pretty confident in their strength. But God was reminding them, Ephesus, you're not the head of my church. I am the head of my church. And I'm not up in heaven just not aware. I know what you've been up to. I'm watching how you are guarding my people. I hold you, I protect you, I give you confidence to continue, faith to continue, but I am the authority over this church. And why should we celebrate that? Because Jesus is perfect. Perfect love to guard and to protect us. See, we are held in the hand of Jesus Christ. Not only are we held in His hand, but He is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is walking amongst us. Again, it's not about our authority. Mm-mm. It's about the fact that He is here with us. You know, at some point before we came to Christ, we had no light within us. And then the beauty of faith arose, and the light started to shine in places where the light had not before. Now, there's a lot of testimonies over almost 30 years being at this church. It's been a joy, and it continues to be a joy. But what I see is that when the light came to a heart, it spread to another, and hearts were changed. And on this little corner here, on Monticello Road, the light continued to shine. There were a lot of times where that light, and you can bring these back up here for me if you will, the light, there was an attempt to just blow it out, take it out, just vaporize it. But God saw fit to continue to allow this little church to continue to be a light. And all that we've ever asked is for God's divine appointments. Did I want a mega church? Well, prideful pastor, yeah. I still remember when we first opened our first place that was a rented place at that time, on Assembly Street. I went in there and I counted how many chairs can fit in here, because we're going to pack it out in a couple of weeks. And I'm still waiting for it to be packed out. But that's not the point. The point is divine appointments for faith to be alive in hearts that God brings. David, I appreciate you pressing through to be here today, man. And when we first moved in, Enzer was on the heart of a lot of our folks, and my prayer has always been, Lord, walking distance, and thank you, Robert, thank you guys for your faithfulness to press through and come. You know, I'm going to tell you a quick little story about Enzer. Don't get mad at me when I say it now. When we first opened up back in 99, there were hardly any men over there at Enzer. I'm serious. It was all women. And there was this one old guy, okay, an elderly guy, let me put it this way. He was kind of suave, okay? And they used, do they still do covered dish dinners at Enzer? Do they sometimes? Well, back then they did them consistently. And I remember going to a couple of them, and he would be sitting there, and all the ladies would come over. Did you try my dish? You know, and he was man, he was something else, because he was the only guy in the community, right? So it's been a joy to see some more men added on out there, but the women still rule out there, right? There's more women out there, right? But what a joy to see over the years there are powerful stories of lives that have blessed us, and we hope to be a blessing to Enzer as well through those divine appointments. Miss Martha, Josie, different ones over the years, Della. It just what a blessing. Here we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Think about this. And this is so important for us to perceive who we are. The devil doesn't want you to know who you are and who we are as a church. He doesn't. Because if he can block us from understanding, he can try to cause us to grow faint and to give up. So look at this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Jesus, the head of the church. The head. And now look at it close. But he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Now listen to this. To which is his body, doesn't stop there, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Did you catch that? Jesus says that the church is not a sampling of him, but the fullness of him. Now, if we feel all we're going to do is just be like a little, like this little glimmering light that kind of, sort of like glitter that kind of shines a little bit, and that's it, you know, no big deal. If the church doesn't continue, if church doesn't meet, if they call us non-essential, nothing could be further from the truth. The fullness of Jesus is vested in his church. And we can look at that, and some people could get prideful in that. It's not about pride. It's about a responsibility, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And it tells me this, Michael. It tells me that the fullness of Jesus' heart belongs in his body, the church, the gathering of the church. It tells me this, I cannot make that happen. But it is him that lives in us that makes that a reality. That is the power of the invincible church. It is not our power. It is the power of who dwells within us and who has called us to be here again for such a time as this. The church is called to illuminate the earth, not to walk away from the earth or to grow weary of the earth. We are to shine brightly upon this earth, and we are called to illuminate the earth with the wisdom, the knowledge, and the love of God. That is what we are called to do. Don't let the world degrade what we are. Don't let circumstances degrade what we are. We are called to represent Jesus, not partially, but fully by his power that lives in us. And then we see this. Satan wants to extinguish the light of God's hope in the earth. Oh man, he's busy about trying to put out the light. He has a strategy to say it's too dangerous for you to continue to be a church. Church, it will never be too dangerous to continue to be the church. Will it be dangerous? Oh yeah. Can it cost us our life for holding up faith in a society that detests faith? Yes, it has. It has. And people have probably died this week proclaiming Jesus Christ. We've just had it easy here in America. We've had the comfort zone in America. But that's changing, isn't it? How will that change us? Because Satan wants to extinguish the light. But I want to step back in. I don't have the slide for this, but this is vital. This is so vital to understand who we are. Ephesians chapter 1 again, verse 19 and 20, shows more clarity of who we are. And his incomparably great power. Speaking of Jesus, who's stronger than Jesus? Nobody. Who's greater than God? Nobody. His incomparably great power for who? For us. For us who believe. God says that power that I possess, I place in you who believe. Now we have a choice to either accept it, believe it, or walk away from it and shy away from it. But that's who we are. We are filled with the power of God in us. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now look closer. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Did you catch that? The power that raised Christ from the dead is invested in his church, which easily calls us, the church, invincible. God isn't playing with this power. He hasn't hidden what he has offered us. He's made it clear. The question is, will we believe who we are in him? Will we accept a different definition that's not written in the Word of God, but more so written in our hearts and within our perspective of choice, rather than the obvious clarity of what God has stated? Safe in the church. The church is solid. There's no power able to defeat it. No power able to defeat the church of Jesus Christ. And this morning, invincible is a powerful word, isn't it? It's a powerful word. Juju, I need you to come help me out with something this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. Come stand in front of this right here. Juju, appreciate you being here this morning. Look at that camera and tell everybody hello. I want to show you something. I got something for you, Juju. You invincible. Invincible. You know, Juju, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a piggy bank? You ever had a piggy bank? And what was it made of? Do you remember? Was it like plastic, or sometimes it's made out of ceramic? Now, let me ask you this. Do you still have that piggy bank? Because probably what you put in that piggy bank eventually found its way out of that piggy bank, right? That's how it was for me. When I had a piggy bank, I put money in it, and I loved to hear it go in, but I think I loved even more the sound of it coming out. Because the piggy bank in my day, and they you can still buy them, had this little rubber stop at the bottom that you would pull out, and you shake it. Why? Because the ice cream truck's coming. I'm going to get my candy or my ice cream. And so what happened to the piggy bank? It really didn't keep the money safe. Why? You didn't keep it safe from me. So here's the deal. I looked and searched for a piggy bank or a safe that's supposed to be somewhat invincible. I want you to look at that. That's yours. I want you to look at it. Do you see any little stopper to shake the change out of there? Look at it. Show it to the camera where the folks can see it. It's solid, stainless steel. On all sides. There's no way what you put in there is going to what? It's going to stay in there. Safe. Now you see that little slot? That's a reminder. It's just the right size for you to put a dollar or $5 or $10 in there and let it build up. And when the ice cream truck, that music starts sounding, come around, you can't get it out, right? It's what? Safe in there. So this was made for people that are really serious about keeping their treasure safe. Meaning, the only thing that's going to ever be able to come out of there, when you turn about 65 and you're ready to retire, you say, man, I've been saving for all these years. And I know it's not gaining interest, but you can't hardly find interest anywhere today anyway. So you put the money in there, and maybe it's for college. You don't know. You put the money in there, and on that right day, you got to find something stronger than that to get that money out. And you know what I think it would be? A sledgehammer. Yeah, sledgehammer, work it. And then you'd be able to get that money out and buy your first car or help with mama with the tuition at school. So keep it safe. Keep your treasure safe. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Juju. That's a serious safe. No playing, because when it's deposited, you're committed unless you want to wreck something with a sledgehammer. And I think even then, Candy, it may take a few people to get that to happen. But we are safe in the hands of God. The church is invincible, and there's no sledgehammer bigger than God, right? There's no way that there is no power greater than God. So rest assured. When you hear the numbers of people fading from church, don't be surprised. Because the Bible tells us in the last days, there's going to be what is called the apostate church. The church that falls away, but the remnant will continue. So don't worry. God's power is more than enough for us. But Satan shows up and he does this. Fear is his choice weapon. He wants us to perceive ourselves as something other than invincible. He wants us to perceive ourselves standing on our own foundation rather than what we truly are. We are filled with the power of God. The fullness of Christ dwells within the body of Christ, us. That's a big responsibility, and don't let any fear come and cause your heart to shrink. Fear is the weapon he places in the hands of his recruits. Fear is the weapon he places in the hands of his recruits. You think Satan has recruits? He does. And they're everywhere. They're all around. We talked about voices before. many different channels where we get information and perspective. And there's so many that are seeking to bring fear to us. Don't let it live there. I saw a video, and I'm just going to touch on this real quickly, of a man that loves Jesus. And he is a street preacher. And, you know, church can kind of like look down and say, oh, that's too radical. No, I think that's how the apostles did it as well. They went out. So when you see somebody proclaiming Jesus on the street corners, honor and pray for them. You know, it takes a lot of faith to step out in places of rejection like that. Well, I think it was yesterday. This young man, filled with faith, wanting to share the hope of Jesus, journeyed in to that district in Seattle that has been six blocks sanctioned off and told, we will rule these six blocks, right? If you haven't heard of that, it's crazy what's happening. So he goes into that district and begins to share the hope of Jesus. And he's attacked. He's attacked. And not only is he attacked, he's sexually assaulted. And here he is standing, and they eventually took him to the ground. But then some stood up for him, thank God. Homosexuals came and started to grab him and I think it was one started to kiss him and just try to humiliate him. And as I was watching the image of this young man proclaiming the gospel and all of the hate and the manipulation for what the message, or trying to silence the message that he brought, reminded me of like Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels came in and they were in Lot's house, and the hordes of gay men came and said, let them out where we can have our way with them. And then it also reminded me of the image of Stephen, of when the gospel was presented to ears that didn't want it, what happened? Silence. Silence. We know this without a shadow of a doubt. Hate is the breath of hell. That's what it is. Love is God. And what's going on in our world right now, we gotta get down to the basics. Is it hate or is it love? What's the spirit behind what's going on? And I promise you this, when we make room for the Holy Spirit to live in us and to give us perspective, all of the stuff that is coming, knocking at our door, we're going to be able to perceive it not as Satan wants, not as my flesh wants, but as God wants, and we'll navigate through it. We'll navigate through it. Times have changed, and they're only going to keep changing in negative ways. Now, you say, Pastor, that's horrible to say that. Read the Bible. Read the Bible and understand destiny of the time prior to the return of Christ. Fear is a weapon he places in the hands of his recruits. They wanted that young man to shut up, so they brought fear. They intimidated with fear, but he kept calling out for Jesus. And thank God, some people arose to guard him. God used lives to protect him. Fear is the pathway for doubt. Fear builds the bridge that says, come on, doubt, live in me. And once doubt is allowed to find its way in our heart, in our mind, it destroys faith. takes it out. If I energize my doubt by stepping away from my faith, I invite the spirit of the world to encompass my mind and my heart. I, and you and I, know this. Doubt destroys your knowing of God. Doubt destroys your faith in God. Faith is what? Knowing. I know God is with me. The chaos around me doesn't change who God is. I know God is with me. I know He is faithful. I know when I read that His fullness lives in His church. I know that that's a reality. I know He is with me. I know though chaos surrounds, it doesn't change the fact that God is a solid, solid foundation. And it doesn't change the fact of the promise made to Peter that Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know that that promise lives on, and it lives on for all who call themselves children of God, filled with faith in Jesus Christ, who have not forsaken the giving that Christ has, or the blessing that Christ has given us, the church, the living stones. What did we say last week? You cannot be the church by yourself. You can try. You know, you can have your solo walk, but you will not be the church. The church is the gathering of the saints, the living stones that make the spiritual house. Here, when doubt comes and it destroys faith, it looks like this. A Christian without faith is like a dead star. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 again. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. A Christian, a pastor without faith is like a dead star, void, void. I don't know anything about dead stars, and our professors probably do, and maybe that's something that you've studied. But one thing I did read is that dead stars can eventually turn into a black hole in space, in which I don't understand that either. But one thing I do understand, it is a void, and it doesn't have the illumination of the original birth it was created for. And see, with us, we're called to shine, right? We're called to shine, to illuminate the earth, not to pull back from the earth, but to shine not our image, but the image that lives in us, which is Christ. A church without faith is like an extinguished lampstand. And right now, in each of our lives, the enemy has a strategy to take faith and cancel it. And the question is, what wind of sin is seeking to tamper your faith and your trust in God? What does it look like? Because, you know, when that wind of sin comes, sometimes we invite it. We open the door for it. And when it comes, it cancels out the faith that God has entrusted to us. What is that wind of sin that we're edging at, that we're getting closer to and we know we shouldn't? It seeks to cancel the faith out. Church discouraged. I've been very challenged through this season. And there's been a strong attack just to give up. Be honest with you. I don't like what this season is doing. But I know this. This season doesn't change the reason that God put us here. In fact, it should intensify. But no, I quit. Hate is contagious. Division is contagious. The Bible says factions, divisions will destroy a church. Nothing is ever going to be the same. The wind of sin, that's its goal, to extinguish the lampstand. How are you doing? How are you holding up in this crazy time? I promise you this, this craziness that's surrounding us will not dissipate the wisdom of God that lives in us if we hold on to our faith. Satan is such a liar. Satan wants to divide and break us up. Whose kingdom is going to live in you? Is it going to be the kingdom of what the media tells us? Is that going to be our kingdom? Or is it going to be the media that forms our thinking? Or is it going to be the perspective of God? And I want you to know this. The Word is living. So as we journey to the Word of God for our perspective, it is alive and it aligns our thinking. It brings reproof to us when we begin to step into places that we should not. And the beauty, this is where it gets really, really good. The beauty is the perspective we're supposed to have is not dependent on our ability. It is dependent on the power that lives in us, and that power is Jesus Christ. So you know what? We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Don't allow doubt to build its bridge through the power of fear. The events that surround us are not the foundation that we stand on. Can we hold to that? This crazy world is not my foundation. The hatred, the division is not my foundation. My foundation is Jesus Christ and Him giving clarity for such a time as this. This crazy season that we live in, the events that surround us are not the foundation we stand on unless we choose to. And I refuse to stand there. Because I want the foundation that is this. Our foundation is invincible. It's eternal and forever victorious. That's what we are as a church. Will they come and kill us one day for doing what we're doing right now? They might. They might. Will they come and lock your pastor up because he said something that they view as hate speech? It's already happening in other countries. They might. But the question will be this: the angel, the star, and again, the one that is responsible to teach, will he be faithful? Will the body be illuminated? Or will the body be content to look like this and just call Jesus their Savior in name only, but not in reality? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, right? That might. Because there's stuff that wants to hold us back. Matthew 16:18, I And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 1 Peter, and I don't have it on the slide here, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. This is what you are. If you want to be, this is what you are. You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. What does that mean? A house that is filled with the Spirit of God. A community that is filled with the Spirit, of God. Coming together, being what? Built into a spiritual house. And then it doesn't stop there. To be a holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through this, through Jesus Christ. Our worship and all that we are is dependent on Christ. Him and His Spirit alive within us. We are not held in the hands of the circumstances that surround us. We are held in the hand of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. How have we felt as we've faced all of these challenges of the last of 2020? How has it made us feel, secure or insecure? Knowing that everything's going to be okay, or feeling like it could all fall apart on the next day? We are not held by these circumstances. We are held in the hand of Jesus Christ. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. This morning, how's your faith? And how's your knowledge of who you are in Christ? I'm gonna ask for a little bit of help this morning. Michael and Adriana, will y'all come here for a minute and help me out? Michael, I'm gonna have you stand here and hold this. Adriana, I'm gonna have you come here and hold this. You know, it was a joy seeing Delphine's grandbabies in the house this morning. And thank you guys for pressing in and coming. And I was looking at them, and they're growing very fast. And I was like, you know, how long have they been coming here? And you know what? And y'all know this, it's very true and very clear. Years ago, in came through the door Delphine Gettings. She worked with Lillian, and our church was enhanced in a powerful way through Delphine. And Michael, I know you go by AJ, but I always like calling you Michael. Your daddy was probably about your age, maybe a little bit older, when he sat right over there. I still see him in my mind's eye. Right over there. So, three generations impacted by faith. Because I know this about you guys. You've seen faith in your daddy. I had a talk with your daddy not too long ago. I need to give him a call. But he was sharing with me about his heart to be a minister for Jesus Christ. And that blessed me. Your grandmama, y'all didn't see her before, but mighty, mighty change from God. And that faith continued. And in this morning, you guys are trusted with the next generation that comes. But I know this, it's in good hands. Because of faith and trust that you have in Jesus Christ shines brightly And it shines brightly not only back to your grandmama, to your daddy, and moving forward now to you guys, but it will continue forward. And I want you, if you will, if y'all will light each of those candles on that lampstand this morning as a celebration of what happens when faith is alive in hearts. In the lampstand, the glorious church of Jesus Christ. And you can set that candle in there, Michael, thank you. The church that is not filled with false light, but filled with the power that raised Christ from the dead, that is more than able to overcome any enemy that seeks to destroy us. Let's give them a hand this morning. Thank you, guys. If we can bow for a moment in prayer this morning, and as we conclude our service today, our folks that are here by way of Zoom have an opportunity to spend some time in fellowship and prayer. We also have a prayer room that will be available on Zoom as well. So if you would like to join that prayer room, you will see Ann's name listed. And if we can, let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we need you. We need clarity. We need that daily infilling of your Holy Spirit so that faith shines brightly in us in the name of Jesus. And we say now in Jesus' name, thoughts, perspectives that are not of you, that they would be aligned and moved out. In the name of Jesus. For your faith and trust in God is the door that you've opened for the fullness of God's expression to live in you. So as you've opened that door to say, Jesus, come in, have your will and your way in me, he will take you up on that. And he's saying, you open the door, but I step only where you desire. So if that's in our heart today, grow me, Jesus. Grow me, Lord Jesus. Maybe I found a little chair somewhere in this journey of faith and just sat there, content. I feel like I'm okay, gonna make it to heaven, but I'm okay right here. I don't need anything else. And the fact is, the call to faith is not only a call to living, but it's a call to dying as well. And God says, the flesh, the fallen nature that all of us here were born with and share in likeness, it's got to die every day. Because there's a liar whispering, saying, that faith... That flesh is okay to remain. No, it's not. Because all it does is it calluses the heart and the hearing. It calluses the eyes and closes our perspective off. So we say, if this is you, and if you're able to stand to your feet this morning, say, Lord, grow me, Lord. Grow me. Let me die to this old flesh so that the vision of your fullness can be a reality of growth in my life every day. Every day, something else is changing. Something else is getting in a better place. And here, if there's anyone that thinks they've arrived, you're lying to yourself. Because while we're walking this place of trial and tribulation and preparation, we don't arrive. For when we say enough is enough, we have died spiritually or in the process of dying. But I want more of Jesus. We want more of Jesus. We want that lampstand to be shining brightly as we transition to that next life. Our Lord, glory comes and we get to see the return of Jesus with our own natural eyes. Your will, Lord Jesus, your will. These altars are open. If someone has to be dismissed, please know we respect that, we understand. But these altars are open for prayer today.